Hello and welcome to episode 17 of the Simpleton Podcast. The podcast that has now been going for 18 weeks. 18 weeks of pure gold. Champagne comedy, creme de la creme, just top-notch shit. My name is Daniel James. I'm from Melbourne, Australia. And joining me from Berlin, Germany is Scott Gall. Scott, how are you?
Very well, Daniel. Very primed. This is not fun. It's not fun and games. What we do here is provide a service, and I'm primed in a professional sense to provide that service. How are you?
I agree. It's a community service that we provide. I'm dragged here kicking and screaming week in, week out by your good self. But what can I do?
Hold on. What was that one, please? That last sentence?
I am dragged kicking and screaming here every week by you.
No. That is one of the most blatant, I was about to say misfabrications. It's actually a blatant fabrications that I've heard since doing this with you, Daniel. Everyone knows that the Simpleton Podcast is a vehicle which is used primarily to promote the Daniel James trademark. And let's not mince words here. If you came across someone who you thought was better or would gel better with you or would provide better writing services or whatever, I'd be out of my ear like that, Daniel.
What were you doing? Were you switching on a hall light or something?
No, that was clicking my fingers. I'd be out like that.
Oh, that's better.
If you came across someone you thought would feel my role better. So let's just not,
If this podcast is a flagship for my personal trademark, then I am in a lot of trouble in a lot of ways. But however, you're right. If I could find someone that was more suitable than you, you'd be on your ass in a blink of an eye. You hear that?
That's something we can. That's something we can agree on, Daniel. So,
well, we're about to find out why I would give you the ass in the blink of an eye. Scott, let's move on to the world roundup.
Yes, today our focus, it's a little more mainstream this week. It's on the looming American presidential election, which is less than a month away. In order to obtain a special insight into the campaign, I attempted to arrange an interview with our international relations expert, Klaufis. Klaufis, however, was unavailable due to an annual end-of-season fishing trip, which he has been on all week with his teammates from the Bertolucci Reserves Football Club. So with nowhere else to turn, I decided to interview myself about the current state of play in American politics.
I beg your pardon? You're going to interview yourself?
That's exactly it. You heard what I said. I tried to get Klaufis. Couldn't get him. He's unavailable all week.
Scott, so, out of the two of us, you are actually a trained journalist, are you not?
Trained, yes.
Yeah.
That's correct. Why?
What did they teach you at university in relation to gimmicks, serious journalism, sloppy journalism, bullshit journalism? Did they cover those type of topics, Scott?
Ouch! But let me just say this, Daniel. It's anything but a cheap gimmick, and this is why. If I was just to sit here now all on my own and give my view of the state of play in American politics, that would come across as very preachy, as if I was standing on my proverbial soapbox forcing my views onto others. Instead, I have chosen to interview myself to present my assessment or an assessment in a very neutral way. Have you got a problem with that?
Absolutely, I have a fucking problem with it. It is an ego trick gone wild. This is like the Luna Park roller coaster ride of bloody ego trips, as far as I'm concerned. Are you really seriously going to go ahead with this?
It's serious. It is anything but a cheap gimmick. El contraire, my friend. It is serious journalism. I'm not about to stand here and preach, Daniel.
Are you standing?
Just no. All I wish to do is present a point of view in a neutral way, and I suggest you be quiet, Daniel, because it's time for the interview. Mr. Gall, I thank you for agreeing to speak with me. It's a pleasure. After a debating performance that the mainstream media generally ridiculed as poor, there is a feeling that Vice President Biden has won some points back for the president after a strong performance in the debate of the vice presidential candidates. What are your thoughts on this? Scott, to be honest, I view the entire thing as a horse and pony show. You know, which corrupt, empty suit is going to win the election? Scott, if we're going to be honest here, it's clear that either man would slit his own grandmother's throat for a nickel. So the choice before the American people is not which man will be better for the future of that country. Rather, the choice is which one of the two would the people prefer their country to be violently raped by. Mr. Gall, that is a very cynical outlook you have there. Cynical? Listen, Scott. There really is no difference between the two. You have to understand that. It's nothing personal against the two current men vying for the top job. It's the same thing every 4 years. There'll be no difference between the next two candidates 4 years from now, or the next ones 4 years after that, or the next ones after that. Okay. So you're saying that it really doesn't matter who wins the US presidential election. That is exactly what I'm saying. Mr. Gore, many, many people would find your comments to be highly negative, Scott, to say the least. You asked the question.
Mr. Gore.
Now listen. Scott, you asked the question. Let me finish, and please don't interrupt.
Mr. Gore.
Do not interrupt. If the people don't like what I have to say, then don't ask me to come onto your podcast. I'm not here. I didn't come on here to mouth platitudes, you know, to spin. As for the low quality of the candidates, it's not just America. America is a microcosm for the West in general. That's my whole argument, Scott. I see. All right. So if it really would be the case, Mr. Gall, that both sides of politics are essentially rotten to the core. Interesting turn of phrase, that one, Scott. I like it. Okay. If both sides are essentially no good, as you seem to be suggesting, and if there is essentially no difference between the two, then why do so many people invest passion and vital interest in the political process? Okay, that's a good question. And let me answer that question, Scott, with another question. And this is that question, Scott. Do you like sport? Yes, I do. I do too. I do too, Scott. My favorite football team, the Sydney Swans, recently won the premiership in the AFL. It gave me great enjoyment. I also experienced the bitter disappointment of defeat when they lost the final back in 06 by a single point. These are real emotions, Scott, that I experienced. But when I actually step back and have a clear think about it, I keep coming back to the same conclusion. As nice as it is when the team wins, or indeed disappointing when it loses, it really does not, in the greater scheme of things, change a single damn thing. Uh-huh. Okay, so what you're saying now, Mr. Gall, is that our democratic process in the West is essentially a game or a spectacle and nothing else. I wouldn't have put it quite like that, Scott, but yes, I suppose that's a fair summation of what I'm getting at here. Mm-hmm. Mr. Gall, I'm going to now ask you to stop talking in vague generalities and to be a little bit more specific. If the leadership class in the West is really so corrupt, as you seem to be contending, why is the modern West so prosperous with, generally speaking, very high standards of
living? Let me just cut you off there, Scott.
I'm sorry. I guess I've just broken one of my own little rules there. but firstly, if I was to get specific on what's so wrong with the leadership class in the West, you'd need to interview me for a whole month without a single pause. Yeah, but as it stands, I believe your podcasts already run for a little bit too long. You know, your 50-minute weekly offerings would do well to be trimmed down to 40 or so. Mr. Gall, please address the question. Oh, yes. Okay, as you wish. To answer your question, I believe the modern West is prosperous and vibrant not because of our political establishment, but in spite of it. The person on the street is the sole thing that makes a country or a civilization great, Scott. And I suggest you don't let anyone else tell you otherwise. I see. Mr. Gall, I might not necessarily agree with everything you have to say, but you're a man who speaks his mind, I'll give you that much. Thanks for your time. Thank you, Scott. All the best. And keep up the good work that you and Daniel have been doing.
It's got down in the running sheet that I'm supposed to somehow respond to what's just unfolded.
Yeah.
But I'm left absolutely speechless. I'm sitting here in my service department in Melbourne, and I'm hearing a man. I'm hearing a man on the other side of the world interview himself.
You make it sound so tacky, Daniel.
I make it sound tacky. that's quite a unique perspective you've got there, Scott. But I'm sitting here. It's 9:30 on a Monday evening. I've got headphones on. I'm in my evening wear. And I'm wondering, what the fuck am I doing with my life? As I sit here. If you'd asked me when I was a kid, you know, Daniel, when you grow up, do you want to, you know, sit in a room by yourself and listen to someone interview themselves on the other side of the world? I would have said, you're out of your fucking mind, old man. And indeed, if someone was to ask me that now, I would still say the same thing. There is absolutely no defense to what has just been undertaken here on the Simple
Daniel,
podcast. What?
Let me put this to you, and this is a serious question. Are you saying we should censor what our guests have to say?
I think that we should seriously censor what you've got to say, Scott. And I think you've just fucking run out of brownie points in terms of the world roundup. I seriously do.
You're going to take that from me now, are you? First the sport and now this.
Well, I have to consult some people before I make a firm decision, but it's not looking good. It really isn't. Scott, let's move on to something else now. What have you got for us, Scott?
A one-off special is what I have for you today, Daniel and Simpletons. My employer in Germany is a nationwide further education establishment that offers a wide array of courses from yoga instruction to whiskey appreciation. I myself do it pretty much straight down the line, being an English tutor at the said establishment. But I have also recently been involved in a course at the said establishment in my free time, not as a tutor, but as a student. Yes, that's right. I recently undertook a once-a-week 12-lesson snake charming course under the careful tutelage of one Guru Singh, an Indian expatriate who runs courses in the practice at that establishment year-round. Upon my recent graduation, I convinced the guru to lend me Bruno, his Indian spectacled cobra who'd been a feature of the course, week in, week out. Together with Bruno, I would put on a snake-charming spectacle at a local kindergarten, which would also be recorded for the listening pleasure of the simpletons around the world. Armed only with a mouth organ and my wits, I'll be honest, Daniel, it didn't go as well as originally planned. That much has to be said. But anyway, let it roll. Hello, children. Guten Tag, Kinder. Yeah. How are you all? Wie geht's euch? Ich habe etwas Cooles für euch heute. Yeah? I have something really cool for you all. Yeah. So, say hello to Bruno. Begrüßt Bruno. Yeah? Yeah? Begrüßt Bruno. Yeah? Yeah. Okay. So, I reckon we won't muck around. Yeah? So, I think we'll just get into it. I think everything is in position.
I do believe we're ready to go. Los geht's, Kinder! Los geht's! Okay. Moment, bitte. Augenblick. One moment, please. Bruno, is everything all right? Alles klar, Bruno? Entspann dich ein bisschen. You have to relax a little bit, Bruno. Yeah? Okay, one more try. We'll try again, okay? Okay, so. Okay. Something's not quite right. I think he just has to find his groove a bit. Maybe he's a bit nervous in front of this group here. You know, he normally doesn't do groups. Just has to work himself in a bit, I guess. Okay? So we'll give it another go. All right? Two and... On the tables! Kinder! Stellt euch auf die Tische, ja? Auf die Tische! Ja! Alter Schwede! Ah, der stinkende Wichser hat mich 5-mal gebissen! Ah, auf die Tische! Auf die Tische! Oh! He's gone behind the cupboard! He's behind the cupboard! Kinder! Er ist hinter den Schrank gegangen! Nicht runterkommen! Bleib auf die Tische!
I feel like I want to throw up. Mir ist etwas schwindelig hier, muss ich sagen. I'm dizzy. I feel a bit dizzy. Oh, really dizzy. Oh, can you call an ambulance? Oh, rufen Sie einen Krankenwagen. Ein Krankenwagen. Oh.
So, how did all that pan out for you, Scott?
Yeah, well, as you noticed, it didn't go well. I'm told that paramedics are on the scene within 10 minutes. We're able to stabilize my heart rate, and they applied a splint and a bandage, as you do, you know, to
Oh, of course, as you bitten. Would, yes.
As you would, I was taken to the local hospital here in Oranienburg, and I'm told it was touch and go for a while. There was no antivenin for this particular type of cobra in the local...
As I understand it, Scott, there are actually no venomous snakes in Germany.
That's right. There are no...
Antivenom would have been quite difficult to come by.
Very difficult to come by. They had to actually stabilize me and put me on something. I don't know. They put me on something and had to have a special supply flown in, fresh from Mumbai in India.
And the children? Are they
children
okay?
Pretty much. Well, I'm told it was my daughter's kindergarten. It wasn't her group. I did this for an older group of children. I'm told they pretty much took it in their stride. Were unaffected. I don't think they. They might not have realized the gravity of what was happening at the time.
And how is Bruno?
I am told that they had to call in Bruno. Not Bruno, sorry. They had to call in the guru. He has a clear understanding. Bruno wouldn't come out for anyone else. No one else. He was not going to come out, but the guru came on the scene and he was able to to gently talk Bruno out from behind the cupboard, and everything was fine on that front. So I'm told it was touch and go, but the antivenin was where it needed to be within 24 hours. And well, I'm here talking to you now, aren't I, Daniel?
Yeah, you must feel like a real fucking idiot.
I wasn't expecting that. It was touch and go for a while, Daniel. It's not
okay, Scott. I think we've covered your near death experience now, but can we move on to something important?
Oh my goodness, you're in a bad mood.
I'm not in a bad mood. I'm just trying to keep business rolling. And speaking of business, Scott, we've spoken about what I'm about to announce off air, and it is a very dark day indeed for the Simpleton.
It is, Daniel. But sometimes We have to eat a bit of humble pie, chew a bit of gum, walk tall, skate on thin ice, all those things at the same time, I guess.
That's right. And so it's with a heavy heart that I, on behalf of the Simpleton Podcast Network, offer an apology to all the Simpletons out there that have written in complaining about our cross-promotion that we did last week with Ringwood Scaffolding and Madame Kong's Holy Exotic Massaging Services. Who did that? That is totally inappropriate. Whoever did that in the control room should know that there will be a full investigation launched to get to the bottom of that outrageous act, and disciplinary action will be taken.
Daniel, you're upset. I understand that, but you know as well as I do that there is no control room.
Please be quiet, Scott. When we inadvertently advertised Madame Kong services last week, we weren't to know that Madame Kong isn't actually a remedial massage and a sports injury rehabilitation center. No, the truth of it is, simpletons, and we must thank Ian Bunter of Bayswater North for this information, the truth is that Madame Kong is an illegal brothel offering a whole range of sexual services for the hardworking family man. I guess with 2020 hindsight, we should have realised that services such as the 45-minute deluxe hand relief package wasn't an arthritis treatment. The washy-washy body slide treatment wasn't a body scrub services in Madame Kong's mystical geisha gardens. The oral services on offer weren't an ancient Tibetan, The oral services on offer weren't an ancient Tibetan oral health regime. And I guess we should have known that the 90-minute Holy Exotic Happy Ending package wasn't a service that would give you a happy ending because it had fixed your back. As I mentioned, this deal was done through a third party, and that third party was Ringwood Scaffolding. As a result of this crude deception, the Simpleton Podcast Network has decided to sever ties with Ringwood Scaffolding, effective immediately.
Yeah, it's a bitter pill to swallow this, isn't it, Daniel? I just want to...
I would prefer it if you didn't mention swallow in this context, Scott. Thank you.
Stop it. It was a hard call.
No.
Okay, but it was one we had to make. But Daniel, I just have to pull you up on one thing, the Simpleton Network. Since when do two amateurs on a computer link up with nothing at their disposal constitute a network?
That's besides the point, Scott. Look, this has been very messy for everyone involved. And I now implore the Simpletons out there not to run away in horror at what's happened. I like to think that we've just basically established ourselves as a family podcast network, and that people will see for ourselves that we're not going to accept smut, no matter how slimy or greasy or in what crevices or various parts
not the gruesome details. Just keep it general.
I understand Madame Kong has fled the country and has gone back to her residence just below the peak in Hong Kong.
Hi, this is Woody Allen, and you're listening to Simpleton Podcast.
But Scott, you know what?
Oh,
I think it's time to move on to listeners' letters.
Before you put on the sound effect, Daniel, I'm often a critic of Daniel, and...
Hang on, I don't put on the sound effect, mate. It's the control room that does that.
Yeah, yes, all right, okay. But I'm usually a critic of Daniel, and I have to say he has today taken a principled stand in severing our commercial relationship with Ringwood Scaffolding and indirectly Madame Kong. He's taken the principled stand, but let's be honest, he's taken the principled stand that now has us teetering on the edge of the abyss.
Scott, I am currently in negotiations with a small business in Shepparton that sells blinds for a living. So I might be able to tailor a deal with, I'm not going to mention any names.
No.
But I might be able to tailor a deal with that very special blind selling service in, in Maud Street, Shepherd.
Well, you better Buster. Otherwise, Kojo, I reckon we are in serious
Don't
trouble.
Don't call me Kojo. That's just stupid. Anyway, let's move on to listeners' letters. We can't do this program without our dear listeners, Scott. You know that.
I know.
And that's why we've taken... Shut up. That's why we've taken this evasive action in terms of severing our ties with a very, very profitable sponsor, Ringwood Scaffolding. But you know what? It's not about sponsorship. It's not about money. Actually, it's a bit about money.
It is.
But, yeah. I can't lie. However, if you want to send in correspondence to Scott or myself, please email us at contact@thesimpleton.com.au or leave a pithy one-liner on our web address, our website, www.thesimpleton.com.au, or you can visit our fledgling but totally now stalled Facebook page at facebook.com/thesimpleton.
I believe I sent a shout-out to our 4,000-plus followers on our Facebook page, Daniel?
That's a gross over-exaggeration, and it's something that can be caught out quite easily if anyone wants to go to the facebook.com/thesimpleton. You'll see that as of 9:51 p.m. Melbourne time on Monday, whatever the date is today, we have 197 people that are liking us on the Facebook page. So that's just, you know, you can't over-exaggerate these things. They're in the public record, Scott.
Yeah.
Scott, I believe that you have the first letter.
I have the first letter, you believe correctly, as you sometimes do. I must admit, I have sinned, Daniel. I haven't read them. I've just picked out three at random. I'm a busy man. I'll just launch into letter one. I'll read it.
Go for it.
This, and this is what it says. This letter is addressed entirely to you, Scott. I have now listened to all 17 episodes of this fledgling podcast, including that hastily put together best of episode. It has become increasingly evident that your contributions have become more and more ridiculous as time has gone on. I was relieved when the sports report was canned, as it was more often than not plainly ludicrous. That hasn't stopped your childish schoolboy antics. There are two more paragraphs, Daniel. I don't.
No, keep going. This is interesting.
Okay. You're a grown man, Scott, with a young family. Isn't it about time that you grew up and started acting your age? Being the class clown is okay for a while, but when you are actually responsible for running a class, as you do part-time these days, Scott, not only does it become irresponsible, it becomes downright dangerous. And what's with that bullshit self-interview earlier in the episode? Okay, you're making a mockery of the podcast, a mockery of yourself, and no doubt you are an utter embarrassment to your profession and to your long-suffering family. Grew up, Scott. That is from D. James, Melbourne, Australia. Yes, I see. I suppose, Daniel, Melbourne is a large city with 3 to 4 million people, and James is a rather...
Exactly what are you insinuating, Scott? Exactly?
Well... I'm not going to come straight out and say it, Daniel, but James isn't all that common of a name in Melbourne. And put a D in front of it, there would not be many D Jameses in Melbourne, Australia. Probably a few dozen.
I think you should get to the white pages, Scott, and look up those D Jameses, mate.
Yeah, I'll look.
And if you got something to say to them, say it to their face. If you've got evidence, bring it. If you don't, fuck off.
Sue, I believe you have letter two.
I do, Scott. This letter comes from, unlike you, I've had a chance to read these. This letter comes from Preston Towers in Havana. Do you know where Havana is, Scott?
Havana is in Cuba. Where is Cuba, Daniel?
Cuba is just north of the Caribbean and, of course, just south of Florida.
Okay.
So, Preston writes, guys, the white stuff is in the mail.
Yeah,
not very discreet there, Preston. Not-
Far from it. Daniel, I appreciate the accent you're trying to put in there, but remember, Preston is not from one of those traditional Caribbean colonies. He's from a Spanish-speaking Caribbean nation.
Okay. Yeah, how would that go then, Scott?
Yeah.
Oh, chicos, wa bunka esta an kawi o.
What was that? What was that?
That was how it would be said in Cuba, Daniel, where they speak Spanish. What do you mean, what was that? I can tell there's something up with that tone in your voice.
I could recognize a bit of Spanishness about what you said, but the accent was Chinese, Japanese. I'm not even sure, but don't ever do that again, okay?
Okay, agreed.
So, Scott, Daniel, Scott, yes, Daniel, do you have another letter?
Yes, I do, Scott. Anyway, this letter comes from Lucy Keneally, Cooktown, Queensland, and she writes, "You won't catch me skydiving. No way. It's dangerous enough as it is just merely crossing the road, let alone jumping out of a hot air balloon from 38 kilometres above the Earth's crust. Scott, Daniel, you can stick that up your ass." Oh, thank you very much, Lucy.
Well, that's not very ladylike, Lucy, but well, fair enough. That's your view.
Anyway, I think it's time that we wrap this thing up and put it in a blanket and set it home. Scott, for the week ahead, do you see anything that simpletons should be aware of?
Daniel and simpletons, I do. But that, this week, I see a lot of very specific things. But you know what, Daniel and simpletons? I don't want to pour my heart and soul out to you on everything. This one's for me. I do see a lot of very specific things happening, but it's just for me this week. I'm just keeping it to myself. You?
These things that you're keeping to yourself, Scott, they're not of world importance at all?
They're of major earth-shaking importance. But they're just for me this week. I just want to, you know, there has to be a bit of me left for me, Daniel. So, you know, I'm giving my heart and soul to you and the simpletons, but I'm keeping a bit for me. What do you see?
Simpletons, I think that we can all expect a big comeback from Madagascar this week. Scott, thank you very much for your time. Simpletons, thank you very much for your time, and goodbye.
Goodbye.